بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. وقال تبارك وتعالى: لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين. وقال تبارك وتعالى: ربنا وابعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا والحكمة ويزكيهم إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أعدى عدوك نفسك التي بين جنبيك، وكما قال عليه السلام. صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. لدرس رسائل دروس شريف. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، respected elders, dear brothers, our mothers and sisters and all who are listening on the audio streaming, Alhamdulillah, our Honorable Imam recited from the Holy Quran, beautiful recitation and very beautiful selection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first ayat which I recited, which was read in the first rakat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings to our attention an extremely important matter of our life, and that is relating to the purification of our hearts and souls. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first commenced this discussion with a series of oaths that he had takes in the in, he undertakes here in this surah, in this chapter of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears oath upon oath: وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَخْشَاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes oath upon oath. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of taking an oath. Oath is taken by somebody who wants to convince somebody about the truthfulness of his speech. Who can be more truthful in speech than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most truthful in speech. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of swearing an oath, but to emphasize the subject matter of what is coming, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears 7 oaths, one after the other. That alone is sufficient to alert us to the importance of the subject matter that follows after this. Brothers, there's a vehicle whose lights are on. It's a Hyundai NP. 194-123, NP 194-123. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to alert us to the importance and significance of the subject matter that follows after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears so many oaths in the Holy Quran that our attention can be drawn and we can be fully attentive and very very, very keen and eager to know what is going to be said after this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the subject matter that is the cause of all of these oaths that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes, and that is the subject matter of the purification of the soul and the purification of the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. قَدْ in Arabic is a word of emphasis. Ulama, the scholars of grammar know that. One is you can say aflaha, and one is qad aflaha. Qad aflaha means definitely, certainly, that person has succeeded in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who? Man zakkaha. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا. The one who succeeded in purifying his soul, he is indeed successful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who polluted his soul, he is indeed a failure in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The criterion of success is what is determined by the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not by the creation. Our criterion of success is the criterion of the creation, which has no significance in the eyes of the Creator. The real success is that which is determined by the criterion of the Creator, Allah Rabbul Izzat. When Allah says it is success, then it is success. If Allah Ta'ala says it is a failure, then it is a failure. Our criterion of success is very different. Our criterion of success is mainly confined to material ideas and material aspects of life, the material things of this world. This is our criterion of success. If somebody is very wealthy and powerful and influential, that is our determination of success. That we will say, oh, that person there, look at him, how successful, what a successful human being. In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the criterion of success is something very different. The criterion of success in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. First of all, other place in the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. You have to have iman to be a success in the eyes of Allah. You can have everything else, but if you don't have iman, you are doomed, you are a failure. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. The one who succeeded in cleansing and purifying his soul, such a person is indeed successful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. The one who has polluted his soul, he is a failure in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the criterion of success. Purification of the soul. Because the soul has diseases and maladies, and these maladies need remedies, and we have to remedy the malady of the soul, then it will be a success for a person. We see already in this world that if these maladies persist and they have not been remedied, then it becomes the source of so much of misery and heartbreak and suffering for the individual, the sick individual himself, and then for the people around him, his wife, his children, his parents, his family, his siblings, his relatives, and his society, and his community. Those spiritual diseases affect everybody. It has an impact on everyone's life. So, therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes the importance of spiritual purification. And let us give by way of example what is meant by spiritual purification, because today we have drifted so far away from the teachings of Islam that people are finding difficulty even in understanding what is meant by spiritual health and spiritual well-being and spiritual maladies and spiritual illness. So it has got to do with the spiritual illnesses, spiritual maladies, and being free of those spiritual maladies. That is spiritual health. And having the spiritual maladies is spiritual ailment and spiritual sickness and disease. Example, in the ayat that follows immediately after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us already an example of what is one of those spiritual maladies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِطَغْوَاهَا إِذْ انْبَعَثَ أَشْقَاهَا فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ نَاقَةَ اللَّهِ وَسُقْيَاهَا فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَعَقَرُوهَا فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسَوَّاهَا وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an explanation by way of an example of the spiritual maladies of this nation of Hazrat Shu'aib Hazrat Salih alayhi salam. Hazrat Salih alayhi salam. These were the people who were given the miracle of the camel. And they asked for the miracle. They wanted this miracle because of their spiritual malady of obstinacy, stubbornness, and rejection, arrogance, their pride. These were the spiritual maladies that afflicted this nation. Obstinate, stubborn, and ungrateful. And there were people who were willing to reject the messages of the great messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Salih alayhi salam, notwithstanding his many appeals and pleas to them, which are found in various passages of the Holy Quran. But they rejected all of that. And those spiritual maladies led to their utter ruin and their devastation and their destruction and their annihilation. That nation was annihilated and effaced from the surface of the earth. What was the cause of it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the principle first and then the incident to elucidate the principle and to show by way of example that this is the outcome of these spiritual maladies. When you have the malady of obstinacy and stubbornness and rejection and pride, these are those things that cause the destruction. Today we see that if a person has got these qualities, somebody is very obstinate, very stubborn, no matter how you try to explain to the person in whichever way, this is the reality, this is the situation, these are the facts, their ears just shut and their minds close and they just go into a state of rejection that they do not want to hear, they do not want to listen, they do not want to accept. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from their maladies of the soul. These are examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave of that nation. The Thamud. The Thamud. This was that nation of Salih alayhi salam that they rejected. These were the spiritual maladies. And if we find that spiritual malady in our time, in today's time, in ourselves or in the people around us, we will see that what misery and what problems and what issues it raises in that individual and in that community, in that family. If any one person in the family chooses to become very obstinate and stubborn, Allahu Akbar, the whole family now has to bear the suffering of that obstinacy of one person. Now, how many times they try to explain to him in whichever way, but no, the obstinacy and the stubbornness is such that a person does not want to accept. Many a disputes, for example, in our community, is the net result of stubbornness and obstinacy. A matter comes up, they say, right, let's solve the problem. The people say, okay, let's solve the problem in accordance with the rule of the Sharia. And the verdict is given, the ulama are consulted, they give their verdict, they give their ruling, but one party becomes obstinate and stubborn, and they say, no, we reject, we don't accept. Finish. Now, that problem doesn't get resolved, and it goes on, and it carries on. This is the result of obstinacy, this is the result of stubbornness, this is the outcome is rejection. So this is just one example. There are countless examples that can be given, and there are dozens of spiritual maladies that need to be remedied. We take another spiritual malady like anger, which is a very big problem in today's time. The anger that causes heartache, misery, suffering, homes breaking, talaqs taking place. In what causes the talaq? In most instances, is the temper, the anger of the husband, the heat of that moment. He just got beyond himself, and he fires the bullets, and he kills the marriage. And now he wants somebody must revive a dead This person shot someone 3 times and killed that person. Then he says, no man, please try and bring this person back to doctor, bring this person back to life. The doctor will say, are you crazy? Are you mad? How are you going to bring a dead person back to life? Like that, they want to go and say, Mufti Sahib, bring this marriage that we killed, the marriage, bring it back to life. Mufti Sahib will say, you can't bring this marriage. Something that was killed and destroyed, how are you going to bring it back to existence? So anger is the cause of so much of suffering, so much of misery. And they say, one letter if you add to anger in the beginning, then it becomes danger. Anger is danger. That is what anger is, danger. There's all the danger, you know, the dangerous conditions come about because of anger. And look at the individual himself will suffer the outcome of it. The regrets that come after that, but it's no use. The families are broken, the homes are broken, the children are scattered. This is the result of spiritual maladies that were not remedied. If he had remedied the spiritual malady, then this would not become the outcome. So my dear friends, these are just examples, and the Mufti Sahib most beautifully selected these verses and made it easy for me also to discuss a topic, because I came here with my mind blank altogether, not knowing exactly what will be discussed, but alhamdulillah, the selection of ayat. And then we go to the second verse which I recited. Again we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning in Surah Wattini, Wazzaytun, Waturi Sinin, Wahadha al-Balad al-Amin. 4 oaths Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes here. 4. Again to emphasize the subject matter that follows after this. Laqad. Again the emphasis. Laqad khalaqna al-insana fi ahsani taqweem. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. It ties up with the first subject matter very beautifully. That we created man in the best form. But then, we dropped him to the lowest depths and the lowest levels. The lowest levels of degradation. The lowest levels. We dropped him, except the people who are excluded from this category, and those are إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. So, if the human being does not adopt iman and good deeds and spiritual purification, then he will, from being Allah's best creation, he will become the lowest of Allah's creation, the lowest of the low. And we see that human beings in their behavior, Allahu Akbar, their behavior, even animals are put to shame in the way that some human beings conduct themselves and they behave, and the harm that they do, and the destruction that they cause, that even the animals are put to shame. Even the wild animals in the jungles are not as vicious and as, destructive as this insan who was supposed to be the best of Allah's creation, when he sinks to the lowest depths of degradation, then there is no creation that is as destructive as he is. Look at example of the ending of the Second World War. When they pressed the one button from the aircraft and they dropped the bomb on the cities of Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Allahu Akbar. What utter destruction. Millions of human beings perished in a matter of seconds. In a matter of seconds. Entire city was obliterated and wiped out from the surface of the earth. This is the destruction. When insan falls to the lowest depths of degradation, then he becomes the cause of the misery and suffering and the destruction of millions of human beings with the press of one button. So only the people of iman and amal, they are exempted from this. And again, it takes us to the subject matter, that without spiritual purification, without spiritual, you know, rectification, the condition of man is one that will be of misery, destruction, suffering, failure for himself, and it will be heartache and misery and suffering for the entire people around him. Sometimes his near and dear one, sometimes extended family, sometimes the community, sometimes the whole country can suffer the effect of the corruption of a single individual. And then we go now to the third ayat, also relating to this theme. And the Quran entirely from beginning to end emphasizes this theme of purification of the soul over and over and over again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the dua of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam after the construction of Ka'batullah and the building of Baytullah. Today we put up masjid, mashallah, our beautiful masjid here, Masjid al-Rahma. What a beautiful name too. The Masjid of Mercy. We put up beautiful structure. Community is excited, happy. We have an opening. Dua takes place and so on. Like that, the greatest of all structures on the surface of this earth, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam constructed the Baytullah. And it was a special, special occasion of supplication and dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They accomplished such a great deed that it required that it should be followed by a supplication and dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that was one of the special moments in the history of this world of acceptance of dua from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, the Khalilullah, the friend of Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Zabihullah, Ismail, and we're entering that season. We are going into that season of Ibrahim alayhi salam's biography and Ismail alayhi salam's biography, and the beautiful lessons and inspirations to be taken from the life of this father and son. What do we see? We see that Ibrahim alayhi salam, after construction of the Baytullah, supplicates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbana wab'ath fihim rasulan min anfusihim yatlu alayhim ayatika wa yuallimuhumul kitaba wal hikmata wa yuzakkihim innaka antal azizul hakim. Makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, I did my job. I built a Kaaba. But now after this, the nations that are going to come, the generations that are going to come, oh Allah, those generations, let them be guided so that this Kaaba can always be a center of attraction and humanity can gravitate to this headquarters and this house of yours, and people can come here and carry out the acts of worship and ibadah, and they can be believers in your oneness and your greatness, and they can be obedient servants to you. And so he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the end of his dua, he said, Rabbana wab'ath fihim rasula min anfusihim. Or minhum. Rabbana wab'ath fihim rasula minhum yatlu alayhim ayati. Oh Allah, raise a messenger and prophet from the generations that are going to come. And the mission of that messenger, Ibrahim alayhi salam mentioned it in his words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions elsewhere in the Quran, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's own words. The order of Ibrahim alayhi salam was a little different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's order was different, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam in the exact order that Ibrahim alayhi salam made this dua. And he said, oh Allah, raise from amongst them, minhum, yatlu alayhim ayatik, who will recite your verses to them. Wa yu'allimuhum al-kitaba wal-hikmah. Wa yuzakkihim. Wa yuzakkihim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, speaks about this tazkiyah. The dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam is also about that. That, oh Allah, this Nabi will come and he'll purify them. He will purify their souls. He will make their tazkiyah. And he will remove their spiritual diseases and sicknesses and maladies. This was included in the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because what is the status of a spiritually ill and spiritually sick and diseased nation? They are doomed to destruction and failure in this world and in the hereafter. Therefore, he made dua that Allah let them be purified, so they are not a polluted nation, but they are purified nation and they are pure nation. And this was the dua Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely accepted the dua in the form of the great, 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 great grandson of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, our leader and our master, and our role model and our guide, Hazrat Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And therefore he used to say, Ana da'watu jaddi Ibrahim, I am the dua of my great-grandfather Ibrahim alayhi salam, made dua to Allah. Allah manifested his dua in me, that I am that person that he said, وَبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْهُمْ, send that messenger from amongst them, and I am the acceptance of that dua of my great-grandfather Ibrahim alayhi salam. And hence the mission of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the mission of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam elsewhere in the Quran. And here the order Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes, that after يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ, Allah brings وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, first their tazkiyah will be made and they will be spiritually purified, then they will be worthy of receiving the divine knowledge. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the concern and the fikr for spiritual rectification and for the correction of our spiritual maladies and the remedy for our spiritual diseases. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that fikr and concern. If that fikr enters the heart of a person, then inshallah we're on the track to success, and we will eventually inshallah reach that goal, and then it is success in this world and success in the hereafter, and it will be harmony in this world and in the hereafter. In terms of our own self, we will be at harmony with our own soul. That's the first benefit. And then we'll be at harmony with our environment around us, our family and all our extended family and friends and our society and community and the entire environment. We will be at harmony with everyone. That will be the outcome of that tazkiyah. Otherwise, Allah forgive us. Allah have mercy on us. In one home, the problems, the issues, the fighting, the misery, the, you know, serious problems and issues. Families like at war, they at loggerheads, they, you know, can't resolve issues. And sometimes it manifests itself in the ugliest forms. And if it's not, didn't manifest itself like that, but it's seething and boiling under the surface, just waiting to erupt. This is the result of the lack of tazkiyah. But when tazkiyah is there, there will be complete and total harmony in that home and in that family. And that is what we are supposed to strive for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq, hidayat and guidance. Inshallah ta'ala we will recite the durood at salam. Being the night of Jumu'ah tonight, great night, night for durood and salam upon our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we will have a short zikrullah dua and then the completion of the program inshallah.